We started a series last Sunday on the kingdom of God. Basically, we just went through some of the basic passages of Scripture, spoke about the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, and that when Jesus came preaching, that's what he came preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we want to continue on that today, the gospel of the kingdom of God. All of us, from the time we were just children, we've learned that there is an up and a down. We learn that there's a right and there's a left. Hopefully we've learned that there's light and there's darkness, because we see that light and we see that darkness. We know there's a north and a south and an east and a west. The point to all of this is, for everything, there's always an opposite. There's another side. So the Bible tells us there's a kingdom of this world which is controlled and operated by Satan. God didn't give him that authority to rule. He took advantage of Adam and Eve in the garden, if you've read the story, and he gained control of this world system, even though we know that overall, God is still God over everything. Amen? But God planned to use this to give all human beings an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. We're put here to make a choice. And just as we were born into the kingdom of this world, we didn't really have any choice in the matter. Right? And we find ourselves really wanting to do more wrong than right, because we're born into this kingdom that's out of the will of God. And so Jesus, when he came, that's why he came. He came so that to establish what he called the kingdom of God, which, as I said at the outset, God's king of everything. So Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when he said he's come to establish the kingdom of God, he's talking about, I've come to establish something new on this earth. I came to reestablish what Adam and Eve lost to Satan, and I came to establish that so that people would have a choice, and they could come out of this, they could actually be translated out from this kingdom and power of darkness, and they could be translated into God's dear Son and His kingdom. And that's what it is. It is a translation. We can't transfer by whatever we do other than calling on the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. That's the only thing we can do, put our trust in Him. And then He's the one, through His power, that translates us out from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen? He does that. And He's not willing that any should perish. Amen? God's not willing that any should perish. He sent His Son into this world to die for the sins of the whole world. Everybody that's been born from Adam to Eve, He sent His Son into this world so that we might be saved and translated out from the kingdom of power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen? And so if you're a Christian this morning and you're here, and you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible said in Romans chapter 10, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Amen? And so whether you realized it or not, at the moment that you did that, no matter wherever you were, at that instant, as Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. At the instant that we made that confession, Jesus Christ is Lord, and that's It's not just one of those things, I say Jesus Christ is Lord, because he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? That means we say Jesus Christ is Lord. We want him to be Lord in our lives. We're tired of being manipulated, controlled by the God of this world and by the things of this world. And we want Jesus Christ to be our Lord and to save us from our sins and translate us into his kingdom. And we will listen to him and obey him, and he will come our Lord and our Savior, and we'll do our best to do what he says to do. Amen? That's what it means to call Jesus Christ Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. Well, Brother Lewis, have you always done that? No. I hate to tell you, but I have not. I've failed sometimes, and I could go back and tell you some real horror stories where I failed him in a big way. But thank God he loved me anyway. And I thought for about 4 years, because I told him to get out of my life. He told me later on that was just like a three-year-old telling his mama, I hate you, get out of my life, leave me alone. Amen. And I'm glad he felt that way about it, because that's how ignorant I was. And so he came when I finally got tired of running and, you know, being in the outhouse and being outside of the will of God and begin missing him in my life. I got to thinking maybe after about the second or third year, I got to thinking maybe I had committed the sin unto death. Maybe I was lost forever. Maybe he wouldn't ever have me back. And that's a horrible feeling. If you've ever known the Lord and been in God's fellowship and with him, and you've experienced the reality of his presence, and to make things even worse, if you want to call it, it was worse for me at that particular time, Rachel and Lou, my daughter and son, would go out in the garage on Sunday morning and pull up some chairs and set up a pulpit, and he'd preach and she'd lead the singing, and they'd have a service. And me being there, sitting there in the Sunday morning, looking at the newspaper and wishing they would shut up, because I couldn't get things. I had gone to I don't know how many different pastors and preachers all over Houston, because we were living there in South Houston, Pasadena area at that time, and trying to talk to pastors and trying to get things right with God, and I couldn't get them right. In fact, I'd lost hope. And one of the pastors, I'm sorry, I don't even remember his name, one of the pastors that I'd gone to, I went to so many, came by our house on a Sunday afternoon, knocked on my door with a Bible under his arm, and said, Lewis? And I said, yes. I didn't even remember his name. I knew he was a preacher. He said, where's your wife? I said, she's in the back room. He said, call her. We're going to have a service. Now, I had been seeking the Lord for the last 2 years or so. Thought I was, anyway. I couldn't get in. Couldn't get back in relationship with him. So that I called Pat, and she came, sat down on the couch. We sat there, and he stood up in my living room and opened up his Bible and preached a sermon. It wasn't very long. And then he said, get off the couch and get on your knees. We're going to have an invitation. And he wanted us to pray, and all I could think when I got on my knees on that couch that Sunday afternoon was, Lord, is this the time? You're going to open the door and let me back in? And it was. And I've been going for the Lord ever since. I haven't slowed down. I don't want to ever be there ever again in that situation. Thank God that he loves us that much. So I just thought I'd share that with you this morning, because a lot of times the enemy comes, and he's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible tells us, and he accuses us right here in our minds, and he tries to fill us with thoughts, and he tries to tell us, and God loves somebody like you, look at what you've done, tries to bring up all of the things that we've done in our lives. That's the enemy. And if he wasn't a Christian, he wouldn't be trying to do that. Let me tell you that right now. You listening to me? So thank God we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And there's several places in the Bible, several places in Matthew where the kingdom of God is called the kingdom of God, and several places, it's called the kingdom of heaven. And it's actually both of those things. It's the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of heaven. But it's a kingdom that's completely separated from this world, so that when we are translated out from the kingdom of power darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. God makes us a new creation. We are, like Nicodemus said to Jesus, well, how can a man be born again? He can't go back and enter his mother's womb and be born. He said, you have to be born of the Spirit and of truth. So when we're born again, as we call upon the name of the Lord and say, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior, I want you to be the Lord in my life, and I confess you and I call upon the name of the Lord so I can be saved, and I put my trust in you and my hope in you, at that instant, God translates you. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're born again and we're translated into God's kingdom. Amen? So let's read some scriptures and talk about some things relative to God's kingdom. The Bible in some places likens the kingdom of God, and Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, as I said. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, giving thanks. We all should be giving thanks. Amen? Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us. He's made us. Amen? We didn't make ourselves. He made us meet. That means He made us acceptable. He made us, gave us the ability, the right, the privilege to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So whether you like it or not, when we called upon the name of the Lord and God translated us out from the kingdom of power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, we became a saint. Amen. I see Saint Mark right there. Amen. We're saints. Now, we may not live like it and we may not act like it, but God says we are. And we need to take Him at His word and start living like it and acting like it. Amen. Romans 14:17 says, For the kingdom of God is not eating, it's not eating and drinking, it's not meat and drink. It's not we quit eating things and start eating other things and quit drinking things. It doesn't have any. We do, because, but that's not what saves us. So what he's saying here, the kingdom of God is not that. It's not the meeting and drinking, eating and drinking or not eating and drinking that allows us to be a part of the kingdom of God. It's the righteousness and peace. Everybody say righteousness. You may not realize it, but at the time God translated you out from the kingdom power of Satan, the god of this world, into the kingdom of God, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus became your righteousness. The Bible tells us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen. The Bible also tells us, but of Him are we, but of God are we in Christ Jesus, and he has been made unto us, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's verse 30, he has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have all of those because Christ has made that unto us, and because we are in Christ, he's translated us out from the kingdom of Satan, this world, and into the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Then we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And it doesn't have anything to do with eating and drinking or not eating and drinking. There's some things we don't eat and some things we don't drink because we're Christians, but we don't do that in order to be Christians. Are you with me? We do that, and he gives us the power to do that, by the way. Work out your own salvations. Philippians chapter 3 or chapter 4 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we work out his salvation, which he's worked in us. He gives us the will and the power to do that. Amen? And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So, let me just give you some places when the Bible talks about, and the Lord Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God in many different ways, and each way is kind of a different way, but all of them have to do so that we can understand what he has done. It's the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is spoken of as a farmer who plants seed. So what he's saying, when we look at the farmer that plants seed, what he's saying is, over there, if you read that, the seed, which is the word of God, it fell on stony ground. It fell on ground where the bushes and the weeds grew up and choked it. Amen. It fell on hard ground where the fowls there came and eat it up. But the fourth one was it fell on good ground. And if you're here and you're a Christian and you've confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are that good ground. Amen? And it fell on the good ground and it brought forth fruit. All the other places didn't bring forth fruit. So that's why you see a lot of people all over the world that are confessed Christians, but they don't bring forth the fruits of a Christian. You with me? Because they could be hard ground, they could be ground that's been choked by the weeds, or they could be ground that was stony, or you know, they could it be a ground that the birds came and stole the word away from. So he says the kingdom of God is like a farmer that sowed good seed. He says it's like a seed. So when a seed is planted, if it's watered and nurtured and it's taken care of, it grows, right? Amen? So that seed that God planted in you should be growing. Amen? Are you with me? Then he says, some of you women will understand this better than men. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, he says, the kingdom of God is like yeast. You take yeast and put it in, I don't understand what all yeast does, but when you put it in bread and or a mixture of dough and water and water milk or whatever you put it in, it causes it to what rise. Amen? That's a good word. Because the Bible also says that those of us who are Christians have been raised from the dead by Christ Jesus. Amen? That we're alive in Christ. So it causes us, he says the kingdom of God is like, he said the kingdom of God is like yeast. He says the kingdom of God in Matthew 13, 44, he says the kingdom of God is like a treasure. It's like a treasure in a field. And a man finds out that the treasure's there and he goes everywhere and sells everything that he has and makes it a priority to find that treasure in that field. And so he's telling us in that we as if people as non-believers need to make that a part of their desire, it has to be important to them. And they have to want to seek that. They have to. That becomes the number one priority in their lives. Am I a Christian? Have I been born again? Am I a part of the kingdom of God? And if not, then what in the world do I have to do to get there? And let me get there as quick as I can. Amen? That's what he's telling us there when he talks about the kingdom of God. Is a treasure. He says that in Matthew 13, also verse 45, it's like a pearl of great price. It's the kingdom of God is the most important thing in this whole world that you could have. That's what he's saying. He says the kingdom of God is like a fish net that's cast into the sea. It brings forth a lot of fish, but the fish that are not edible, he casts back. But the fish that are edible, the ones that are good fish, he keeps. We're good fish. Amen? How many good fish do we have here this morning? Praise God. Thank God. He says also that the kingdom of God is like an employer, one of the best employer. That's in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Someone that it doesn't make any difference in that parable. He was saying that there were some that came early in the morning and worked all day. There were some came at mid-morning and worked most of the day. There were some came at noon and only worked half a day. And there were some come about 4 o'clock and only worked a few hours. But when it come time to get their pay, they all received the same amount. Are you with me? So he's saying, doesn't matter when you get there, just so you get there, God wants you to be saved. He sent his son to save you. And if you get it early in life, if you did it in the middle of life, or you do it to the end, don't wait till the end of your life to get it done, but get it done. Anytime you come, whoever you are, you're acceptable with God, and however long it took you to get there, you're still accepted with God. Amen? Praise God. This is who we are in Christ, and this is what we have in Christ. He says, it's like a king in Matthew 22, verse 2. He says, it's like a king inviting people to a marriage feast. And all that was invited came. He also tells us in one story, and I'm not sure that's the same place, that there was a man came in to the marriage feast and he didn't have on a wedding garment. He said, what are you doing here? Cast him out. He's not supposed to be here. So he's letting us know, thank God, that those of us who have come to the kingdom of God have been born again. We've been invited to this marriage feast, and we're not only just invited, we are the bride. Amen. Praise God. We are the bride, the church, the body of Christ, we're called. Because when we're married to Him, and you read Ephesians chapter 4, He tells you in 5, He tells you all about this. Amen. We're married. We're the bride. Talks about Matthew 25. He talks about 10 young women. The kingdom of God is like 10 young women there. And he talks about 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Amen. The wise ones found the kingdom of God and were taken into it. He spoke also of the glad tidings in Luke chapter 8 verse 1. He spoke of the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And those are the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom is glad news. It's good news. It's happy news. We ought to be glad when we hear it preached, and we ought to be As I'm reminding you again today, we ought to be glad when we hear it and we're reminded of it. Well, we'll remember where God brought us from and where we were and where what He's brought us to and what He's done for us. And that way we love Him more. I never cease to be amazed at where God brought me from and where He brought me to. And that it cost Him His... He didn't just give me the cheapest and the lowest gift. He gave me the very best gift that He had to get me out of this kingdom of power of this world's darkness and translate me into His dear Son's kingdom. He gave His precious Son. And His Son bore my sins and your sins in His body on the tree and shed His blood and spilled His blood so that we could be translated out from the kingdom of power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and we can be in the kingdom of God. That's what He's done. And last but not least, He speaks of, in Mark chapter 4, verse 11, of the mystery of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a mystery, especially to those who are not in it. They don't understand it. They don't know what it's all about. They can't even comprehend what the kingdom of God is. It's a mystery, and the reason it's a mystery is because the things of God in the worldly-minded person is, before a person is born again, we're worldly-minded, and the things of God cannot be revealed to a worldly-minded person. The only thing that can be revealed to a worldly-minded person is the thing necessary to get them saved, and that is that Jesus, God gave so loved the world, He gave His only Son for your sins so that you can become a part of the kingdom of God. That's what you can understand about it, but then it's a mystery. And he talks about this over, and I think James talks about a mystery. It's a mysterious thing. Even when we're translated into the kingdom of God and out from the kingdom of power of darkness, when that happened to me as a young man, I knew something had happened to me, but I didn't understand what had happened to me. But I do know that whereas before that I didn't want to have anything to do with God, now I wanted to have something to do with God. I knew that. And before, where I didn't really care about going to church, I started wanting to go to church. And before, when I didn't really want to have anything to do with the people of God, I wanted to have something to do with my own people that run around with me. Now I wanted to be around some of the people of God. I also realized that I didn't really want to read the Bible before that, but then after I become a Christian, I had a nearly unusual desire to want to get into the Word of God. Are you with me? All of these are changes that God affects in our lives as we confess and say, Lord Jesus, I want You to come into my life. I can't save myself. Save me. I need You to. I'm calling on You. Please save me. Transform me. And then when that happens, then we have to grow. You know, the Bible says, grow in the grace. Grow in, that's the love. Grow in the love and the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. So we have to grow then. And the way we grow is that we listen to what other people are saying and what God has done for them, and that encourages us. Amen. But we get into the Word of God, and that encourages us. And the sincere miracle of the Word is the bread that we live by. That's what feeds our spirit. I was preaching a funeral, I think it was Wednesday, Friday, of a man and his wife that belonged to this church, Brother Scott mentioned him this morning, Brother Ray. He and I were pretty good friends. We worked on several jobs together, building offshore drilling platforms. And he told me some crazy stories about that. And I don't have time to share them all with you, but I was telling them, as I normally do at funerals, what we see in this casket is not Ray Austin, he's not there. This is his earth suit. This was his earth suit. It's like if you go to Mars or go to the moon or whatever and you walk around, you're in a spacesuit. You don't look at that spacesuit and say, there's Joe Blow. He's in it. So we have these earthly bodies so we can see one another, know one another, but the Bible says, as the body without the spirit is dead, the body without the spirit is dead. You're a spirit being, the Bible tells us, and Jesus told the woman at the well, and that God is a spirit, and those of us that are going to worship him, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So at most every funeral, I tell them, this is his earth suit. This is where he used to live. He's gone. And just kind of use an illustration. I don't know whether it's a good one or not, but I'll use it. Did you ever see the movie Beyond and Back? Where the little boy died and was pronounced dead. And there was some other people in different ones that had died. And I'm not sure that's the same movie, but there's been several people that were died and pronounced dead. One was in the obituary in the hospital for 4 days dead. And his spirit came back in his body, and the nurse came in there rolling another body in, saw a sheet moving, and there he was. And they all shared some experiences after they had come back from the dead, saying what they'd seen, where they'd been. As a matter of fact, the little boy that was about, what, how old was that little boy? Burpo, it was his name. He was like 5 or 6 years old. 5? He came to his mama one day as she was cleaning the house. If y'all saw the movie, he said, Mom, he said, did you know I had a little sister? She said, you had a little sister? He said, yeah, I met her in heaven. And she said, you met her in heaven? And she said, well, what was her name? And she said, I don't know. I asked her that, but she said, y'all never gave her a name. She had a miscarriage of about 8 months. It was a little girl. And she was in heaven. And her little brother met her there. Are you listening? See, life and death doesn't have anything to do so much with his body. The life and death, that has to do with our spirit. When your body is dead, that doesn't mean you're dead. That means you just left your body and you went to be wherever it is you're going to spend eternity. Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus in the Bible, and I'm going to close with this story. He said a rich man had a beggar that sat at his door or his gate begging the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The rich man was not a Christian, of course. He thought he had everything he needed. He didn't realize that he needed to be saved. He did. He needed Christ. The Bible said he died and was buried. And the beggar at his gate died. But the beggar, because I guess of his situation, had learned to call upon the Lord and was saved. The beggar died. He went to heaven to be with the Lord. Now, Jesus told this story. I'm just repeating what he said. Amen? I'm kind of paraphrasing it. But the gist of the truth is there. And he said, the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes being in torment. Now, Jesus said that. The rich man, being in hell, lifted up his eyes and seeing Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, he called up there and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus and let him dip his finger in the water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham says, Son, it's impossible. There's a great gulf stretched between these two dimensions. You're in hell and he's in heaven. There's a great gulf fixed. We can't send anybody there. He said, well, then, send them to my brother. He said, I can't do that either. He said, they have the scriptures. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe them, then it wouldn't make any difference. And one went to them from the dead and told them that they were resurrected and they'd been to heaven or hell. It wouldn't make them any difference. They wouldn't believe them anyway. You have to believe the Word of God. The most important thing that we have decision, I should say, the most important decision we have on this earth is to make the decision of where we want to spend eternity. Where do you want to spend eternity? That's your choice. A lot of people try to blame God. Say, it's God's fault that I'm here. And God said, you remember this, you remember that, you remember where you heard the gospel, you remember heard this, you remember heard that, and you didn't do anything. And so I like to say this too to everyone that's under the sound of my voice, and I teach and preach like this, not just for this church, but our church, we're on the internet. This broadcast goes all over the world. Did you know that? This little church in Ingleside, Texas, the message goes all over the world. I've had messages from, I don't remember, all different, like Germany, Japan, China. I don't know. There's so many over the years. Encouragements. People want me to come because they love to hear the gospel. Because that's the good news from God. Amen. And the biggest choice that we'll ever make in this life is to choose God, Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, and say, Lord, save a wretch like me. Many, many years ago, as a young preacher, I was laying in the bed in the afternoon. I was supposed to be taking a nap. And I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord said to me, not in audible voices, would you like to see yourself, what you really look like in the flesh? And I said, well, yeah. And I don't know if I got up out of my bed and walked, or if he took me there. But it was so real. I guess I'll walk. However I got there, I walked from my bedroom, through my den, and through my kitchen, and out on the back porch. And there was a garbage can that had just been emptied that morning, and I looked down into the bottom of that garbage can. There was a bunch of stench and filth, and there was maggots crawling around in there, and he said, there you are. There you were. When I come back, when I was in my bed, and I thought, Lord God, because I knew that was the truth. How in the world could you send your son to a place like that to pick up a maggot like me? And you know what came to my mind? The verses, like it's the first verse of the song, The Love of God. That's, if we could with ink the oceans fill, and where the sky is the parchment made, and with every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. These came to me. He said, this is the reason I came and picked up a maggot like you. To write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the whole scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And I was filled with the love of God. I knew who I was and what I was. And I knew He came down here into this place and gave His Son and shed His blood so that He could pick me up and translate me out from the kingdom and power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And I want you to know, for God so loved the world, that means you, me, every person that's ever been born from Adam to Eve, ever will be born till the end of time, God loves you. And His Son died for you and took your sins in His body and shed His blood for you. He died in our place and was resurrected so that we could be saved. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Anybody needs to come to this altar for any reason at this time, pray for a loved one, or to come and to, have, you know, want me to pray for you, or somebody else to pray for you, or you just want to pray for somebody, or whatever you want to do. If you want to come to this altar right now, you want to come join this church. We don't ask people to join this church. If you want to join this church, that's up to you. You can. Whatever. This is the time to do it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're fixing to end this service. I want to ask Brother Mark DeBerry to dismiss us, please.